What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Davida Chanel, and once again, I am here to get all up in it with you. I think you could probably hear the excitement in my voice because there are three things I want to share with you that I've been all up in that I cannot wait to talk about. As per usual, everything I'm about to say is so full of spoilers. So if you have not seen Monkey Man, if you have not heard Matthew McConaughey's book Green Light, and if you have not experienced Cowboy Carter from the Queen Bee, you might want to pause this, go get into those things, and come back. Or if you know you don't care about spoilers, go ahead and tune right on in because I'm about to get all up in it. First of all, like I said, I saw Monkey Man. Monkey Man is the new film starring Dev Patel. Now, Dev Patel is an actor I've known for some time. And when I say I've known, that means I've seen him before. So I remember Dev Patel from Slumdog Millionaire, and I remember him from Newsroom. Those were two roles of his that stood out to me because he just played the heart of gold type of person that was seeking, you know, to better their situation. But in both that movie and that TV show, the way his character went about these things was very, you know, congenial. They did the right things. And even in Slumdog Millionaire, when he got into situations that weren't quite on the up and up, he always strived to, you know, just do the right thing in a humble, like nice way, I guess I'll say. Well, that ain't the Dev Patel you about to see in Monkey Man. This Dev Patel, he ain't come to play. His character's name is Kid, and the kid stays in the picture. The kid came with it on his mind. He stood on business from the beginning to the end, and it was fire. It was so intense and visceral. It was one of those experiences where you're like, wait a minute. Is this about to happen now? Are we going to just go in? He going to start at the top? He in. And once he goes in, baby, you are in until the very end. I absolutely highly recommend Monkey Man. To attempt to sum this up very quickly, Monkey Man is a story of this guy. His name, like I mentioned, is Kid. Kid grows up in a village that's full of love, that is family oriented, that you can tell the people of this village have been there, you know, ages, like it's multiple generations on this land, and they're praiseful people, they're ritualistic people, they're doing the things they've done since the beginning of time. And in the movie, it's depicted that a spiritual guru has bigger sights for this land, and they want to take over. So the spiritual guru colludes with the cops, and they decide they're going to push these people out, and they're going to make this money off this spiritual land. Does that sound familiar? I think it does, but let me continue. So they go about displacing the people, and the way they're going to do that is to push them off the land, and if they don't want to go, they're going to kill them. And that's exactly what happens. So again, I said there were some spoilers, so I hope you did not take that warning lightly, because let's go. Dev Patel's mother is killed. His character's mother is killed. And when she's killed, he witnesses the whole thing. And as a child, he grows up with the intention of killing the man who killed his mom. I mean, it is what it is. So he makes some life for himself. And when we meet him, he is working as a prize fighter. And it doesn't seem like he's very good. His character in the fights wears a monkey mask, and he's the like loser. He gets his ass beat all the time. Nobody is rooting for him. They're always rooting for his opponents who are better fighters. And they kick his ass like every day. And that's how he earns money. And as these things go, of course, the promoter of the fights is shucking and jiving and not giving him everything he's due. But, you know, he continues to go to work. We also see him get a job at like this fancy establishment. But what we figure out is he's at the establishment because that's where the cop that killed his mother hangs out. And so he works his way up. He makes friends with somebody and quickly fast tracks from like a kitchen worker to like a bartender, we'll say, in the exclusive VIP area. And the day that he gets his shot, he takes his shot. He goes and he learns how to shoot a gun on his own. And he's going to take his shot at the cop that kills his mom. And when I tell you it happens pretty early on in the film, everything I just described. So when he gets his shot, he takes it. A big fight ensues. He almost has him. He's so close. He almost has him, but he missed. And then the pursuit is on. Now everybody is out to catch this kid. Of course, the news is reporting he's a terrorist. He's out to kill our leaders and all this stuff. Because you know how the news do. They're depicting the people that are terrible as if they're the people that are great. And of course, the followers are following this spiritual guru like he's the end all be all. They think he's the second coming, and they think this cop is there to protect them, when we all know as an audience that these people are out for no good. So Dev Patel, he escapes the onslaught of cops and media that are looking for him, and he's rescued by this new community of people. Now here's where it gets interesting, because these people that take him in and heal him and help him get his like mojo back so he could go and continue his mission, it's a community of trans people. And you can see, as depicted in the movie on the news, that these trans people have been attacked by the spiritual guru, who's supposed to be all about love and harmony, but he is colluding with the government officials to make sure these people don't have a stake in what's going on. And every time they step out of their house, they're in danger, like they're getting beat up and attacked. Again, does this not sound so familiar? Anyway, so Dev Patel and the trans community, they work together. Dev Patel is going to go back out. He's going to try again. And again, let me be clear. The Dev Patel we see in Monkey Man is not that humble guy we saw in Slumdog Millionaire. No. He is not that humble reporter we saw in the newsroom. This Dev Patel, he got his mind right. He figured out that the power was in him. He got his soul glow. And baby, when he turned up, he turned up. And no longer was his ass about to get kicked. No. He was about to kick some ass. And he proceeded to do so for about, I'll say the last 45 minutes of the movie. And when I tell you that the trans community showed up in full force, in full effect, in full regalia, fighting with him, y'all, it is amazing. So once again, I cannot stress enough, go see Monkey Man. I cannot stress enough. It is a movie. It's a fictionalized movie, but it got real life implications. It definitely had me thinking about who you want to call when your back is against the wall. It had me thinking about how oppressed people can combine with other oppressed people and shut down the oppressor. Yes, sir, it sure did have me thinking those kinds of thoughts. But we're not going to talk about that too much here, because you know, this is America, the free country, where you are not free to say what you feel when it involves, you know, higher powers than you. So I'm going to leave it at that. Go see Monkey Man. I got all up in it. I love it. And that's my endorsement for why you should check out that movie. The second thing I want to talk about today is Green Lights. Green Lights is a book by Matthew McConaughey that came out in 2020. Now, let's be clear. When this book came out in 2020, shortly thereafter, Matthew McConaughey did a telecast, where one day he got all these spiritual leaders and he talked online, and you could sign up for free and just listen to the different speeches. But I couldn't do it, because when I logged on to listen, Matthew McConaughey was kind of like preacher talking, and I couldn't get with it, and I couldn't figure it out, and it just seemed weird as fuck to me, and my spirit was not in the right place that day. So it wasn't the day for me, and I thought the book would be more of the same, so I didn't care, didn't tune in, missed the boat totally. Well, I recently got a free 3-month subscription to Audible, because I am a loyal Amazon customer and I had not gotten an Audible before, and that's what they gave me to try to woo me, and I think it's working. But for right now, I'm just experiencing my 3 months, and it was time to get a new book. So I decided, hey, why not use my free token to listen to Green Lights by Matthew McConaughey? He starts off saying that this is an album, not a book, but an album in which he's going to share his life stories from the past 50 years. He said that it would have, you know, like inserts from his diary. It will be stories that he's experienced in life. It will tell things about the people he's met along the way. Y'all, it was so fucking good. I can't even lie. I really, really enjoyed it. Matthew McConaughey is a gifted storyteller. The way his voice inflects and comes up and down, the way he mimics the people he's talking about, the way the story starts with a story of a fight between his parents that ends up with them making love on the kitchen floor. I was like, who is this man? And let me get next to it. Now, I will be honest. I was surprised, but when I read some of the Goodreads reviews when I was done, a lot of people had problems with some of the things he had said about his bodily fluids. Matthew McConaughey seems to be like a very free man, so he talks about all the stuff very freely. So if you don't like, you know, hearing about jizz, might not be the book for you. If you don't like hearing about piss, shit, and everything in between, don't pick it up. But if you can get past that and listen closer for the moral of the story, I definitely think it's one you should check out. Now, I listened to the audiobook. I did not read the hardcover, so I don't know how that experience would be, but I do think the audiobook gives it another layer of storytelling that I appreciated. So I definitely encourage you to listen to that one. A few things that stood out to me about this book were that it didn't just, you know, tell his life story. It didn't seem to me like he was preaching. It seemed to me that throughout his experiences and as a man who was 50 years old and had gone through the things that he had, that he just had an appreciation for life. He talked about being from Louisiana, a small town. I think Morgan City is where he was from. He talked about growing up in Texas in, again, smaller towns, like on the outskirts of bigger cities. And I think as a person from the South, it resonated to me. Because it felt like the way my uncle used to tell stories or the way the older men in my life used to tell stories. Because again, they kind of mimic the other people they talked to. They had very strong skills at describing the environments in which they were in. There was always some type of food or liquor involved. There was always a moral to the story without it being a preacher, like the Bible says, blah, 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 even if they do use the Bible as a reference. It felt like the type of lessons I like to learn. So I really, really enjoyed it. It also was a glimpse inside of a Hollywood personality that does not fit the mold of the typical Hollywood standard. So I have watched a lot of, you know, behind the scenes type of interview stuff. I've seen a lot of like true life stories of what happened in the movies. This is my world. So that's something I'm very much into. But I have never heard something like this. And it was simple lessons on, you know, how to have fun, how to be a better person, how to be less stressed. And it was fucking funny. I laughed so much. And I even cried a little bit when he shared how his father died so shortly after he began to experience success as an actor. And how there are really good people in the world. Now, I think some of the things that happened in his life are, let's be clear, he looked like young Matthew McConaughey. So those type of looks will open the door, baby. It's just what it is, but he seems to be a very grounded person who just happens to look how he looks. He seems to be a person that fuck with black people, and as a black woman, that's important to me. He seems to be a person that fuck with people in general, regardless of race. And again, that seems like the best of the people I grew up with in Louisiana, or the people I know from home that are from the South and all of the implications that come with that, but still are fucking good people. And I think the more we get to know each other, regardless of our race or the stereotypes about where we're from, we will find more instances like this where people are just good people. And if you find people that you rock with, it gives your life meaning. And I think that's what the point of this book was. But again, it was such a hilarious ride that it wasn't always clear that this is a self-help book or this is a how to live your life. It just felt like him telling stories from the road of Matthew McConaughey. So I really liked and fucked with Green Light. Again, I listened to it on Audible. I'm sure it's on any platform where you can listen to a book. Maybe the library even has it, but I didn't check it out. But I highly recommend Green Light. So those are the first two things I want to talk about. Because again, I saw Monkey Man and I heard Green Lights. But y'all, you know what I was experiencing. It's me. It's your girl, Davida Chanel. So you know I had to get all up into Cowboy Carter. This ain't Texas. We ain't holding them no more. Beyonce is back, y'all. This one is number 8. This girl, this woman, this phenom has put out 8 studio albums. I'll be goddamn if each and every one of them ain't so unique and ain't their own breed of thing. Now, the word on the Twitter streets is that this album was set to be released before Renaissance. But in light of all that the world was experiencing, she felt like people just wanted to dance. And that's why Renaissance became the 7th album. I don't know how I feel about the decision. I don't think it matters because she could have put them out as a double album, Act 1 and Act 2 at the same time, and I think they still gonna rock. This album flows so effortlessly into Renaissance and vice versa. Renaissance flows so effortlessly into Cowboy Carter. And I know this because the internet done already did the like mixes. It's very good. A couple things I want to highlight because this album has multiple tracks. Let's be clear, 27 tracks, y'all. And I'll be honest, you know, it's 27 tracks, but some of them are very quick interludes, so it doesn't count as a whole song, but all of them resonate so much. This album I started listening to on Good Friday, which was a couple weeks ago now, and every time I sit with it, I have a different experience. I hear like nods to Tina Turner, like rock star Tina Turner. I hear the Beatles vibes. I hear my girl Dolly Parton. But I also feel Beyonce. It's not, in my opinion, a country music genre album. It's not. When I hear that Cowboy Carter is a country album, it feels to me, as a girl who grew up in the quote-unquote country, it feels like an album from home. It feels like I could walk into any hole in the wall and they might be playing this type of music, whether that be a white hole in the wall or a black hole in the wall or old people hole in the wall or like a speakeasy type vibe. I feel like it's for the people. I only skip one song, which happens to be Texas Hold'em, but everything else bump and go hard. There's a song called Daughter, which feels like a movie. Again, she has Dolly Parton present because she remade Jolene. And for most of us, Jolene is our favorite country song because it's so good. Asking this woman to please leave my man alone. But Beyonce ain't asking her to leave him alone, please. She telling her, girl, step the fuck back because I ain't got time. I am a Banji Creole bitch and I will fuck you up. Is basically what I heard. So, I mean, it is what it is. But deeper, like, it's just beautiful. The song My Rose is just so melodic and cool. Some of the songs are more, to me, sad. Like, the other day I was taking a walk and had the Spotify on random. And it played Two Most Wanted, Into Two Hands to Heaven, Into Flamenco. And I felt sad. Desert Eagle has popped on and I felt very seductive. Tyrant has popped on and I felt like, bitch, you need to get it together because these knees got work to do. The whole album feels good. But that's what Beyonce do. If you've been rocking with the last 8 albums, how could you not expect this and more? I mean, this woman is clearly an artist and she's clearly someone who's very thoughtful about her music and the way it's going to be felt. I got some of the paraphernalia or merchandise associated with the Cowboy Carter for my collection, because yes, I have a merchandise collection. And on one of the t-shirts, it says 100,000 watts of healing power. And I think that's true. The album, even when I felt sad, it was a comforting sad, if that makes sense. It made me reflective on some things that were going on. And I did feel better when it was over. And even Jolene, which is so ratchet in that, girl, if you fuck with my man, I will fuck you up. Even that song feels good, because something you need to be very clear. If you don't stop fucking with my money, I will fuck you up. Okay? Okay. 16 Carriages is also a very good song. That's the one that had been in the lead-in promo, I guess. And it's just very strong. I love her lyrics in it. And I love just her voice. It's always been so puzzling to me that one of the critiques of Beyonce is that she can't sing. Because, bitch, where? where? What do you want her to do? But that brings me to, like, my final point, which I'm sure is going to take more than a minute. But I feel like we're at a point now where people just be saying any old thing. And one of the things they say is like, oh, Beyonce can't sing. This is not fact-based. There's nothing to back it up. There's overwhelming proof that that's not true. But it's still something people say all the time. So as we get all up into the things, I think it's super important to form your own opinions based on fact. And then, you know, you could choose to debate them or not. But facts are what they are, regardless of who says what. I saw Monkey Man, I heard Green Light, and I experienced Cowboy Carter. And it was a pleasure to get all of in to all of them. And it was beyond a pleasure to get all up in it with you today. Once again, it's your girl, Davita Chanel. Thank you for listening. Please be on the lookout for more. New episodes are on the way. I got new guests. I got new things I'm doing. Your girl is trying new things, and I thank you for being on the ride. Once again, thank you for tuning in. It's your girl, Davita Chanel, and we just got all up in it.